Lord, I thank you. You are in this place. And Lord, you have brought us to this place. So now together, Lord, I pray, Lord, for these next few moments, by the power of your Holy Spirit, would you take your word, O Lord, and do what only you can do, and give yourself glory and fame, Lord, through lives, Lord, that can hear, are willing and obedient. I thank you, Jesus. You will do, Lord, the miraculous today. We need it, and we ask you for it, and we believe it in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen, amen. I just want to say good morning and thank you for being invited this morning to speak at 10 a.m. And I count it a privilege to stand here before you this morning. I would like to speak this morning, coming to Jericho means coming to your maturity. Coming to Jericho means coming to your maturity. And if you would just turn with me to the book of Joshua. The book of Joshua. Lately in this church, the Lord seems to be giving us many messages in the book of Joshua. And I believe the church is coming into, and this church specifically, into a Joshua time. A Joshua time where there is godly leadership, and there is anointing for every person to have a Joshua-type anointing upon our lives and to be able to go into the promised land. You know, though, church and the children of Israel in the Old Testament know the parallel of what it is to dwell many years in Egypt and then to dwell for a season, even a generation, in the wilderness. But truly then God does have a time where he says, you're going in. You are going into the promised land. And I believe that that is the time we are living in, we are privileged to live in. We don't deserve it, we don't earn it, but if God says it's the time, then hallelujah. I want that, and I know you do too. Now in the Old Testament, of course, Jericho represented that one city, that one fortress that seemed to bar the entrance into the promised land. And it represents, of course, the last barrier, so to speak, of the enemy, an entrenched place, before the children of Israel went in as a nation, as a people, as the children of God, went into the place that God had promised them hundreds of years earlier, where God had promised even into Abraham. He said, separate yourself and leave the land of your fathers. I'm going to lead you and I'm going to make a promise to you. And he said, you are going to be the father of faith and you're going to be the father, and many nations are going to come in and they are going to inherit a place that I have chosen to give you and your descendants. And this was the fulfillment of it in Joshua's time. And Jericho, of course, represents what seems to be that last obstacle before they enter in. And I want to say to you today again that coming to Jericho means coming to maturity. In Joshua chapter 6, verses 1 and 2, says this. Now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out. And none came in. And the Lord said unto Joshua, see, I have given into thine hand Jericho, and the king thereof, and the mighty men of valor. And the people of Israel, it was their time, just like I believe it's our time. The same word given to Joshua, I believe, is the same word given to us today. And it was not given to a perfect people, but was given to a prepared people. And it's to a group of people who want to trust Christ and are willing to trust him as never before, who have a sincere heart and who are saying, Lord, this world, every day it has less and less attraction to me. And Lord, I want to live in your life in the fullness of it. And that is a people ready to enter into this promised land, which is the life of Christ, a full life of Christ. And his will and his purpose goes through our lives. And we see he gets much glory. And I have three thoughts about Jericho this morning for you. Three thoughts about Jericho. What does Jericho mean? And what does coming to Jericho mean? Number one, I want to say this morning that coming to Jericho, which is a type of you and I as a people who want to trust Christ as never before, Coming to Jericho means coming to a place that is a stronghold. And you and I, we can accept Christ, and we have, and we know seasons of struggle. We know seasons of blessing. We know seasons where we grow in the valley. We know seasons at different times. But when we are ready to enter, as it were, our heart has been prepared that, Lord, I want to follow you right into the promised land. I want to receive the inheritance that is mine in Christ. And I have to go to Jericho to get it. And we can know seasons where we've had dealings of God before, but I want to say to you this morning that upon entering the promised land, we are led to Jericho, which is a place, which is a stronghold. It is a place where the enemy has an entrenched position. And the Lord, you know, he could have crossed the border, as it were, into the promised land at any undefended point. He could have led his people into a wide undefended border. Why would he lead the people right to a stronghold, right to a fortress, right where the enemy seems strongest, right to where entrance into the land promised them is seen so securely blocked and held by the enemy? Why would God lead them right to that entrenched place, a stronghold of the enemy? And beloved, that's because the Lord knows that for us to enter into the promised land, to occupy it, to keep it, that there is strongholds in us as a believer that are going to come to light now, and God is going to supernaturally bring them down in our lives. Jericho always represents a supernatural demolishing of an enemy stronghold. And when we come and we're saying, Lord Jesus, you know, you see everything about me. That's maturity. When you say, Lord, you know what I'm like on Monday morning and Tuesday night. You know what I am when I'm with my family. You know what I'm like when I'm alone. You know who I am. And it's maturity to be able to say, Lord, and I'm not going to run from you, for with all my warts, of all my failings, I stand in love. I come to a Jesus who loves me and gave himself for me. And so we don't run from his presence. And we say, Lord, you know who I am, and help me, Lord, not to run away in shame and secrecy, but you bring to the light that it may be healed. And so we are many times, you can have a season where the waters seem calm, but when you and I are ready to go into the promised land, we're brought to a stronghold where the enemy seems to have an entrenched position in our mind, our heart, our families, whatever. We are brought to that place. And it can be, Jericho can be that stronghold of rejection that maybe has walked with you all your life, which has caused you either to be a man pleaser or has caused you to be very rebellious to authority. But this stronghold that's been there, maybe even before the womb, a rejection that seems to have been fostered all your life, God has said, as he said to Jericho, see, I have given Jericho, this stronghold, into your hand because it's my time. And it's your time to be brought in. I'm going to give you the king. I'm going to give you the root of it. I'm going to give you the warriors, everything that the enemy uses that warrior group to support, the whisperings in the mind and the circumstances that reinforce. There is no way getting out of this one. You and I, the enemy would like to think that we can know some release. We can know we can be saved, but crippled all our lives. And Jesus said, no, that's not the salvation I died for. That's not the deliverance I am giving you. I am your redeemer and I am your savior, and I save to the uttermost. And you and I, we will not run from the dealings of God, but no, it is a crucified hand that molds and shapes us. We come to that. And we say, Lord Jesus, I thank you. You see all and you don't turn away. You have loved me with an everlasting love. And you're proving it by bringing me to my Jericho. And everything that needs to be exposed, what comes to the light will be healed and you will get much glory. And here's a people brought right to the stronghold of the enemy, brought right to their Jericho, and they're not running. And Joshua knows that. Why? Because just before they were brought to Jericho, Joshua had this encounter with God, and God said to him, take your shoes off, for the ground you're on now is holy. I've not come to take sides, but I've come to take over and take you in. That's what happened to Joshua just before he went in. And the Lord is meeting with us. He meets with us every service, does he not? He meets us in the worship. He meets us in our prayer time. He is meeting with us because he's taking us in. He is taking us in. He said to Joshua, "See, I have given Jericho into your hand, the king and the warriors. It's your time. It's my time." Hallelujah. Let's take off our shoes and say, "Lord, when I come into this place, I say it's holy ground. I don't have to come in pretending I'm something I'm not. I just come into your presence and you welcome me and you change me." Hallelujah. Jericho could be a stronghold of bitterness, where a bitter envy can get a hold of us and where we can be defiled. It can be a stronghold of covetousness. We're giving our strength to foreign gods. It can be a place of a stronghold of anger where we become so prideful. An interesting thing is anger and pride seem to go so hand in hand. Where there's pride, there's contention. And God is saying it matters not what the stronghold is. I love you. It's your hour of deliverance. I'm bringing you to your stronghold where the enemy seems to have an entrenched position. And believe me, your hour of deliverance has come. It has come. I have given Jericho into your hand. And that same word applies and lives today. The Lord is saying today, I have given your stronghold into your hand, the king, the warriors, the whole thing, because I am the Lord of the hosts. I will lead you in. I didn't sneak you across the border into the promised land. No, I'm bringing you right to an entrenched position of the enemy, and there will be a supernatural deliverance. You and I will know a supernatural deliverance like happened to Jericho. That's how we enter in. The strongholds are met and looked at, and it's only God who brings the wall down. And that's what's going to happen. I've given Jericho into your hand. You know, the New Testament says it this way. Jesus said, "Have faith in God." He said, "Whoever says to this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe those things which he saith, it shall come. He shall have whatsoever he saith." The Lord says, "Have faith in God. Have faith in God. For who, if you speak to this mountain, it shall be removed and cast into the sea." You know, and that scripture is talking about, is so tied in to when Peter said, "Lord, what does it mean? This is the answer. Have faith in God. Speak to the mountain and cast it into the sea." That was the answer Jesus gave when Peter said to him, "Lord, the fig tree you cursed is withered up from the roots right to the top." And it means that because the fig tree represents Israel. And Jesus one day went to, he was hungered. He was hungering for something. And he went to the fig tree. He went to his people. He went to the nation Israel. And instead of finding figs, all he found was leaves. And Jesus said, "I'm cursing that. Because I have called you, my people, to be a fig tree, not a leaf tree. I have called you for a purpose." And he said, "I'm going to move my hand against whatsoever only produces the leaves and not the fruit." Whatever is the root of it, it might be the hypocrisy or the prayerlessness in you. It might be an absence of awe, an absence of worship. It might be a coldness or a disobedience. But God is saying, "No, you see, whenever it concerns my people, anything to do with the restoring of my house, anything to do with the restoring of my people, you ask me. Have faith in me. You ask me, because I'll take away the leaves and I will give you fruit. I will wither what only causes the leaves." And then Jesus went into the temple and he made a rod and he began to chase out the money changers. He made where he said, "No, my house shall be known as a house of prayer. It will not be a den of thieves any longer. My people will not be a prey. And those that have fallen prey and been a partaker of that, I have come to release you. You ask anything. And you can see clearly what it is, maybe a stronghold, whatever it is, it says, you speak to it. Because it has to do with the cleansing and the restoring of my temple, you, my temple. Ask me anything and speak to this mountain and it will be removed into the sea. And he said to Joshua, believe I have given these strongholds to you, the king and the warriors, and everything connected with the oppression of that place. I will give it into your hand. Ask me. Have faith in God. Speak to that mountain, and it shall be removed and cast into the sea. That's what that meant when you see it. It's when Peter said, why did you curse a tree that only had leaves and no fruit? Jesus said, I will curse everything that produces in you leaves and no fruit. Ask me, come boldly, it's your time. And Joshua believed God, and there was a supernatural deliverance. And I say to you, anything to do with restoring his temple, his people, God says, I will do it. I will deliver the king, the warriors, all of it into your hands. And I will deliver strongholds. I will deliver you from strongholds. Now, in addition to that, coming to Jericho, and also means coming to our maturity, means we have the same experience that one woman in Jericho had. There was a woman, Rahab. She was a harlot. And she lived on the walls of Jericho. And she received messengers. The scripture says she received the spies. And because there was this feeling in her that she was under the judgment of God. And that she was not in a good place. And the fear and the oppression all around her is mounting. And I believe there was a cry in her heart. Oh God, if you are real, I know there's a God. These people lived in a time everybody worshiped something. It's not that she, you know, all of a sudden wanted to become a religious woman. It didn't matter her profession. In their heart, in the time, in the culture they lived in, everybody worshiped something. And there was this feeling like what she was worshiping, what she had given herself to, if she was in a bad place. And all of a sudden, God sends messengers and they come right to her door. And she receives it and she believes what they have to say. Just like this word of God is a messenger to us. And he is saying, I'm speaking to you, my people. And there is a time of judgment coming. And when Rahab, who was a harlot, who lived on the walls of Jericho, received this word and received this messenger, she did it with the full understanding that the next time when she released these messengers, she hid them from the people who lived in Jericho who wanted to kill them. And when she hid them and then released them and sent them out a way of safety, she knew the next time they return, the next time she saw these messengers, they would be part of a conquering army coming to destroy the place where she lived. And beloved, we have to, the arrival of this army that these messengers would be part of, the army that she aided, meant the destruction to where she lived and how she lived. And that is what, beloved, us coming to Jericho, if there is any place in us of where we are living or how we are living, when we receive the word of God and it begins to convict us and we say, Lord, whatever it takes, you destroy how I live and you destroy where I live if it's an ungodly place. And beloved, you can want the things of God all your life, but you know you are living in a place that does not honor God. You are living in a place that you are under growing conviction that you should not be there. You may be living in a place and you know that agreeing to God speaking to you means the destruction of how you live and where you live. But coming to Jericho and coming to our maturity says, God, so be it. So be it. As Rahab the harlot had to be in agreement and aid the arrival of messengers who would come as a destroying army to where she lived. There was something in her that says, oh God, I come to agreement with it. I may fear it. I may not know how you'll do it. I may feel like I can't live without living on these walls, but I know you are speaking to me. And I know that my deliverance means I have to come into agreement with the destruction of something you are saying is not right in my life. Let every relationship come under this. Let every lifestyle choice be brought to this. God has promised to deliver you. God has promised to break down the strongholds. God has promised to go into the very depths of who you are and who I am and bring his life, bring his holiness, bring a new way of thinking and living, bring a new freedom, bring a life that causes people to be astonished. But we can't have it both ways. We can't live on the wall and say, let Jericho be destroyed. No, it is the destruction of how we live and where we live. And it's a willingness for that to happen. Don't let anything escape this loving light of God. If she had turned another way and said, you know, I believe the messengers, but you know, it's the only way I know how to live. It's how I make my living. It's how this, it's how that. Beloved, her house, her family, everything would have been destroyed when those walls supernaturally came down. But the grace of God came to her. And she became in agreement with that. You may be living in a relationship you should not be in because you're not married. You should be involved in a relationship you should not be in because they're married and you have no business in it. You may be in occult practices. You may be lying. You may be cheating. There is something. And you know it's not right. And you are under the increasing conviction of God. And there's a side that says, oh God, you know, I can't. God says, no, I do know. And I've come to deliver you. You must get into agreement with me. And Joshua 6:17 says this, and the city shall be accursed, and all that are therein to the Lord. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, and she and all that are with her in the house, because she hid the messengers that we sent. And when she came into agreement with God, she didn't just save herself, her whole house, her mother, her father, all her brethren, they came with her. And they were delivered out of that city of destruction. And they were grafted into the lineage of Christ. And they went into the promised land. Their strongholds, that horrible place of Jericho, where it's nothing but oppression, where she was used and abused, fell to her feet. And she entered in with a conquering, victorious army into her inheritance. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And finally, coming to Jericho, coming into our maturity, means that Jericho, everything about Jericho represents a stronghold of the enemy. It also is accursed. We just read that. Everything concerning Jericho, that stronghold, is accursed. And we are to leave it completely behind when God delivers us. Do not root about the ruins. Do not return. Why? Because, beloved, you are living for a cause much greater than yourself. And when there is a scripture that talks about this man, Achan, and he was part of the delivering army, and they were given a very, very strong word that when God supernaturally caused the walls to collapse of this stronghold, the city that prevented them from going into the promised land, when they were to go in as a conquering army, they were to touch nothing of Jericho. They were to leave the gold, the silver, the treasure, the garments, everything that was an allurement to them. Do not touch it. The whole place, it was accursed unto God. God says, what I have for you is so much greater than a little bit of gold and silver and a few sparkly garments. Don't touch it. And they may not fully have understood it, but God said, everything about that stronghold, you are not to touch. Don't go back there. Don't meddle in it. Don't root around in it. Don't touch it. And so, under the leadership of Joshua, this army comes in. God supernaturally brings down the walls. They now go in as conquerors. And everything that was gathered was to go into the house of God. Everything was to be given to God from that deliverance. Everything was to be given to God from that deliverance. But what did Achan do? You know the story that this man in Joshua 7:1. It says, but the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing. For Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. Joshua 7:21 just quickly says, when I saw among the spoils, this is Achan talking, when I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonish garment, 200 shekels of silver, a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight, then I coveted them, took them, and behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent, and the silver under it. So Achan, what does he do? Against everything he knows to do, he goes in and he takes the accursed thing, and he hides it. But Joshua 7:1, the interesting thing is, how does God see it? He says, so the children of Israel committed a trespass. And it says the Lord's anger was kindled against the children of Israel. One man, Achan, committed it. And yet God, it seemingly, is dealing with them as a group. God's anger, it says, is kindled against the group. One man sins, one man touches the accursed thing, one man takes the accursed thing and hides it under his tent, and God says, I have a controversy with all of you. And what did that mean? What does that mean? Beloved, I want to say that under the leadership of Joshua, many people were going to enter into the promised land. Because obedience brings a right focus. But Achan was also entering in, but he was going to live for himself. And that also would have an appeal and a following. And people were going to see this man, and you know, word gets out. As Pastor Carter and I were discussing this, he says, you know, what did Achan think? He was going to put on that Babylonish garment and nobody would notice? You know, so many times these garments, they were sewn in gold and they would have the picture of their gods on. So it would have like this big bull of Bashan sewn right on it with all the glitter. Nobody, where's he going to wear that garment? What's he going to do? Is he going to go every night and open up and look at it and covet it? What's he trading for it? What's he influencing? He couldn't keep his mouth shut about stuff like that. And it would find an audience. He would find a following. Because when we want to live for ourselves, when we want to go into the promised land and take it all for ourselves, the human nature follows that. It resonates with some. And there is a soft, self-centered focus and covetousness that has barred countless from hearing and entering into the promised land. Is there not an Achan-focused church of our day? Is there not an Achan-focused church in our day? Wants to live for itself, wants to enter into the promised land. It wants all the freedom, and then he wants to take all the freedom, and he wants to go and take of the accursed thing, the gold and the silver and all that it represents, and a covering that's not a robe of righteousness, and go and hide it, have it live in the dark somewhere, and say, I'll live for myself. I'll take this freedom, thank you very much, and I'll live for myself. And that resonates with people, even a redeemed people. And this Achan-focused church is always defeated by the small stuff. Because AI, the next place they were to conquer in the promised land now, is small stuff. But when the children of Israel are brought to that next battle, of course, they are completely defeated. And Joshua is absolutely astounded. And he says, no, that's not possible. I know God said he's going in with us. He defeated at Jericho a stronghold. We can surely take Ai. No, that's not possible that we're being defeated. And he goes to the Lord, and the Lord says, get up. An accursed thing is in the camp. A man and his family and a testimony is there now. And here's what they think. They think they can disregard me. They think they can live before me with deeds done in the dark. They think that they can live for their own betterment, no matter what the consequences, no matter who gets hurt. There's something in the camp now. It's an accursed thing. I'll say that again. They think that they can disregard me. They think that they can live before me with deeds done in the dark. And they think that they can live all for me and mine, no matter who gets hurt, no matter what the consequences. He says to Joshua, there's an accursed thing in the camp. Deal with it. And conquering the land and possessing the land comes to a complete halt till Joshua has everyone stand before him, and they begin family by tribe, family by family, head of family, till they find out who has started this whole lifestyle, this whole thinking, this whole manner of entering into the promised land, this thing, that they can take the accursed thing. And beloved, I want to ask you, has the testimony of Christ come to an all but complete halt in this nation at this time? Has the Church of Christ knowing a story, something similar? Can we honestly say, Lord, demolish my strongholds, demolish my Jericho, and with my freedom, I will serve you and I will serve others? Can I honestly say, God, when I go into the promised land, it's not about me, but there's a plan bigger than me. That the plan actually is about the redemption plan. That the promised land actually has a measure of it, where it is Christ finally has brought his people to a beloved place in him, the promised land. He's been yearning, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, has been yearning and waiting for generations and leadership in Egypt in the wilderness to bring his people into the promised land. And it's about souls. The promised land is about the multitudes who will receive this life in Christ and will see it in his people and will be brought into a place where they live higher than just for themselves. And they'll get healed in their mind and their strongholds will be broken. They will care about others and souls will be saved. Is not the promised land about the redemptive plan? And where you and I say, oh God, I want to live free, that's supernatural. But I want to live not just to serve myself, but to belong to that bigger plan where a multitude gets saved and moved into supernatural life. Hallelujah. Are we not part of a bigger plan? Does not moving into the promised land mean something bigger than living like Achan thought he could live? Can we live, beloved, free? And with that freedom, say, Lord, your will. For others, Lord, I would serve you and I would serve others. Can you destroy the Achan mentality and the cursed thing that lives under my tent, that keeps me living so small-minded, where I'm defeated by all the small stuff all the time? Where I live only for myself and my world gets narrower. You know, people think to follow Christ that the path gets narrower. Yes, it does. You know, and sometimes we just say, you know, in order for me to live in the freedom of Christ, I choose this life, and sometimes it's narrower. But then our heart and our mind expand. Our heart and our minds begin to take in the Spirit of God, who creator of heaven and earth. We begin to expand. We are given giftings. We begin to see and know things that are supernatural. Because we choose a narrow way. But people who choose to live for themselves and want to grab it all to themselves, their world gets smaller and narrower and meaner. And so I ask you, beloved, this day, coming to Jericho does mean coming to our maturity. Where we absolutely believe God for every stronghold to be broken. Where we are given the grace to come into agreement with whatever he has to say to us. It's like, Lord, it's just take it. You are able to destroy it. And I just, whatever you have to say to me, I'm not going to let fear or the what ifs take this glorious life you're offering me. And then, Lord, when you bring me into the promised land, I'm not going to live it Achan style. I will not. because I will not be deceived. Achan was brought out, his sin exposed, and he was and his family stoned with stones, burned with fire. They became a memorial of what not to do. Oh God, that we don't live our lives at the end of the day and become signposts of what not to do with grace, what not to do with mercy, what not to do with a love at the depth of it. We can't even have words to describe it. That we will not be a generation of what not to do. When the promised land, the life of Christ, will be given us by the Holy Spirit when we trust Christ and let him do everything he needs to do and wants to do for his glory, to bring us in victorious into the life he has planned for us. Hallelujah. To live a life liberated, if it were, for our own selfishness and our own limited thinking of God. Be brought into the promised land, the dazzling life of Christ, free in our spirits, free to love and live for other people, astound our world with that spirit within us. All because Christ loved us and died that we may go into the land with him and live in our generation victorious, making a difference. All the glory goes to God, but he shares his glory with us when we become changed like that. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Today, all over this place, you know there are Jerichos in your life. You know like you know. But this word is giving you hope. And you're not going to try to run from it. Whatever it is that God has to speak, we're not going to cling on to it like Rahab, but say, oh God, I come into agreement with what you have to say to me. And I believe you died for my freedom, complete freedom. So I'm going to rise today. I'm going to believe everything is possible with you, even to the reforming of my character, my mind, my family situation. I'm not going to stop believing you because you are the God of everything and you will do a miracle. But then, Lord, I thank you, when I'm brought into freedom, I will live, I will go into the promised land, not with an accursed thing, not rooting, not hanging on, but the selfishness and everything that wants to keep me small. Lord, you're going to bring me in glorious into my inheritance of living fully for you. And Lord, I thank you that, you know, in this day and age, there's a people who can hear that Achan is and what he did is accursed. And you and I can have that land of moving in with the same mind and heart of Christ. Live it in our generation with that mind and that heart. It is possible. It is possible. It is possible. Will you stand with me? As the musicians come, God has been speaking to you in this. And I'm just going to ask you to come boldly to the front as the musicians begin to play and say, Lord, I'm hearing this word. And I hear you, I hear the freedom in it, and I see the way forward. I see the way in. I see how glorious you will be to me. I see a brand new impact in my family because I'm going to respond to this. In everything that pertains to me, a new power and glory in it because I'm going this way into the promised land, not Achan's way, your way. As would you come? Would you join the many that are going to be coming to this altar now and saying, Lord, I respond now. I respond to this. Your mercy will be with me every step of the way. And the impossibilities are going to be broken up as I respond. Will you come now as they sing?
Jesus, Jesus, how I trust you, how I prove you, Lord and Lord. Trust him more. Dear, so sweet.
want you to know that I preached this sermon to myself and had this word search me. And I found at the end such a great release that I'm living for a plan much bigger than myself. And the joy that, Lord, I'm going in. I am. And I won't be kept back. And I thank you that living this great big plan, what are the glory of living for you, Jesus, and to be a blessing to someone. Open my eyes to people I don't see, things I don't see, and your power will be there. I felt such a liberation, and it seemed to get so simple. And I know that many here, you're here today, and saying, Lord, you put your finger on so much, but I feel such hope. And you are the Lord. And you bring down every Jericho in my heart. And you're bringing me into the land, Lord, under your direction. Not living for myself. I'm part of a bigger plan. And I'm going to see glory in it. And I'll never be more satisfied. And life will never be sweeter, no matter how dark the days get. You and I have a secret life going on, a secret plan. And it's Jesus. And it's going to show. And our generation will feel its impact. Your world, my world's going to feel the impact of going in with the right circumstances, with the right heart, the right anointing. Jesus leads us. Hallelujah. We would just bow our heads. Lord, I thank you that everyone who has responded in their heart, Lord, we now have the ruins of Jericho at our feet. Lord, you have demolished the strongholds. When we come to the light, Lord, and we believe you, nothing is impossible. We have faith in God. We thank you, Lord, that anything concerning your church, Lord, every mountain cast into the sea, that's your word. Every life that was just leafy, Lord, will produce fruit. I thank you, your whole power is behind this statement of redeeming and restoring your church. And I thank you, Lord, as we go in, Lord, into the promised land, into this incredible plan of redemption. Lord, your power, your glory, your miracles will be in us and with us. And I thank you, Lord, just keep it simple. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I think we always hear so many messages, we're going to go in. Can I say, I believe so many here today in hearing this word, you're in. You're in. Now we move forward. We possess the land. God bless you. God is with you. God is with you. Jesus is with you. You're going to make a difference. You're in. Let him lead all the way. Hallelujah. God bless you.